This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of Get That Course Online. Over the next hour or so, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses, top-of-mind topics relevant to trainers, a cool tool to use online, and an event to consider. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and we'll also cover listener letters, specific issues sent to us by you. You can contact us through Twitter on @TrainerTalkPod, or feel free to email either Sharon or me if you've got a challenge you'd like us to cover. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk the podcast. We are now at episode 25. It's a quarter century, Sharon. How did that happen?
In the blink of an eye. I don't know. I was listening to another podcast out on my dog walk the other day.
Yeah.
And they were saying about, you know, we've reached kind of like, I think it was 200 episodes.
Wow.
I was thinking, oh my God.
I know. I mean, you know, it's just, it feels like it's gone by so quickly.
Yeah.
And then you sort of go, wow, 25 episodes, that's actually quite a lot. And
yes.
We were talking, weren't we, a few weeks ago about how you'd been told that some people reach maybe 5 if they're lucky.
Yeah.
Then lose interest. So I think we need to give ourselves a little mini pat on the back for that one.
Yes.
So pat.
And they're coming in.
Exactly. Anyway, enough of this self-congratulation. Tell me about your week. How's your week been? What's been occurring?
Well, it was very, very busy. To be honest, I was still catching up because I spoke to you last Monday, didn't I?
Yep.
Which was directly after Training Talk Live. And then the sort of days after that was sort of more of the same, in that I was still catching up after it, you know. And there's always so much to do when you're kind of away for a little while. And things obviously that kind of come out, spring out of that day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've noticed this week I've been doing, I don't know whether it's because it's spring or almost spring, but there seems to be a lot of kind of deck clearing or mm-hmm. spring cleaning going on.
Yeah. Yep.
So things like, you know, obviously the two websites are almost sorted, mm-hmm. which feels, you know, really great to get that all sorted, not just in terms of how they look, thanks to your lovely self, but that they all in the kind of back end, that it's all working properly. You know, all the sort of the blogs are going to be recategorized and re-tagged and, you know, all those things, so that everything, and it just feels like there's a lot of kind of spring cleaning going on, which is good. I had a meeting with the a real instance actually of when you need to get through to the right person. So this SEO company that have been working in inverted commas with me for the last 6 months,
yeah,
you know, that it was sort of coming up for review, and basically what they did, which I wasn't very happy about, I was supposed to be on a 6 month contract. Well, I'm on a 6 month contract, and at the end of any kind of contract you would kind of expect some kind of review,
yeah,
or you know, you decide how things are going to pan out.
Yeah.
And we just noticed that, you know, not only had they sent me an invoice, but they'd already taken the money out of my account.
No.
Like, without any kind of review.
Which
I wasn't very pleased about. And so then I contacted the account manager and said, you know, what's this all about? And they claim that, you know, it was made clear to me when I took out the contract that after the 6 months, it would just be on a like pay-as-you-go basis, which you could cancel at any time. And I was like, well, it wasn't really made clear, because if it had been, I wouldn't be asking. I wouldn't be querying, would I? So anyway, usual case. So then the account manager, who was very, very helpful at the start of the process, then now just seems to kind of disappear into thin air. So then they put me on to this so-called operations manager, who I said to him, okay, he said, oh, I'll ring you. And I said, well, it'd be better if we actually set up a Zoom meeting, because then you can show me what you've actually done. And he said, oh, well, that's not necessary, because there's nothing to show. I can't share a screen with you. There's nothing to show, or some ridiculous thing. Anyway, I eventually had a conversation with him on the phone. And, you know, and to be fair, he did actually, when he'd actually taken me through, you know, so-called report, he said, oh, it's all in the report. I said, it's pointless. You're talking to the uninitiated here, right? It's no use sending me a report. You need to explain to me what is actually meant by this report and the different terms that are in it. So to be fair, when we went through the kind of keywords and I typed them into the search box, you know, they were coming up, a lot of them were coming up first page or second page once you got past the ad. So, you know, fair enough. Mm-hmm. So, but I then, there was, because I was asking him about the, you know, this business we'd had about the recent opportunities page.
Yes.
Yeah. Whether or not we stick with the page that you've created or whether we go back to the original page, because it did used to show up quite highly in the search. And by the way, it still does. It's just that now there's a redirect which you actually put in. And he said, oh, you know, you don't need to, you best talk to the person in Ireland because he's the guy who actually does the work. I'm like, aha, okay. Why didn't I speak to him to begin with? Well, nobody told me that this person existed.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I'll cut through all this. So I basically ended up phoning this guy. And not only was he the nicest guy going, I'm always a sucker for an Irish accent. He was the nicest guy going. Two, he actually convinced me he does actually know what he's talking about and clearly mm-hmm. must be doing something. And three, you know, I'm just going to deal with him now in the future because I've decided I will carry on using them for a little while longer because they have actually, you know, been getting results. But it's just a case, again, of you need to speak to the right person, don't you?
True.
Now, I'm saying, right, okay, I've got now in my diary every 2 weeks, I'm going to call you. Mm-hmm. And you can update me on what you've done. He's like, yeah, no problem. And he's been emailing me in between and kind of, it's like, finally. But why do you have to go through all that to get to that point?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the moral of the tale was, what did I start off in that rant for? It was all about, again, just sort of spring cleaning and just sort of making sure that all these things are kind of working correctly. On that, I had a meeting with my lovely glamorous assistant, Chantal, last week as well about social media and sort of various things. And we, you know, sort of went through all the different things she should be doing, etc. But on top of all this spring cleaning, Jeanette, oh, that was the other thing I need to tell you. I decided in all this that the podcast needs its own notebook.
I say. Right.
Well, because every week this is just a really simple daft thing.
Yeah.
It's a result of all this spring cleaning. So basically every Sunday when I sit down and decide what we're going to talk about in the podcast, so I always put it in my notebook with everything else going on. So what that means is that every week then I have to sort of go through to find out what we were talking about last week.
Gotcha.
And then I thought, do you know what? The podcast needs its own notebook. Aha. So that it will be a record of everything that we've discussed over the year. So why I didn't think of that before, I don't know. But you'll be pleased to know, here you go. So it's now got its own notebook.
Yay! How exciting and very sensible.
Because often, you know, we were talking about the fact, you know, what have we covered this before, and now I'll be able to go back and see that. So all that was as a result of spring cleaning. But the other thing that it was made clear to me is that I've still got too much to do, which we will talk about in top of mind.
Uh-huh.
In other news, three things actually. I watched Ryan play tennis again, which was really nice. In fact, I'm still watching him because because it's over on YouTube, and so it means that there's a permanent record of it. So the match that was last Monday, which was a doubles and a singles, I'm still watching because obviously it's about 2 hours long. It's at a time, so I think I'm in his singles match last week. I'm actually in the second set now.
Okay, and how's he doing? How's his form?
He's great. He's not actually, I'm not going to say he's not actually lost a match yet. So but the great thing about watching these things on YouTube is it's a lot less, it's a bit like when I watch the highlights of Rafa. It's really nice watching it when you know they've won. You can just sit and relax then. Whereas when you're watching it live, you go, oh my God, oh, Jesus.
Do you know what? I do know what you mean. It's kind of, it's like watching sort of the highlights program of a sporting match. Like, do you know what? I just want to know the score, and then I'll know whether or not I need to waste my time watching this. Because if they don't win, and that sounds like it's a really sort of fair weather fan, that kind of thing. I only do it with matches that I'm not actually overly fussed about, but it will be an entertaining diversion if it's a good result, that kind of thing. For anything very, very important, like things like when Andy Murray's in the Wimbledon final, that kind of thing. It's like, no, you've got to watch it live. You've got to watch it live to the bitter end, no matter what. Yeah. But I know exactly what you mean. Oh. It's like, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, aren't there?
And, yeah. Well, it's just so much nicer because I was sitting there last night going, oh my god, two double faults in a game, oh that's oh my god, and then I just, it's okay because I know he wins his set 7-5.
So it'll all come good.
It's and a bit, in actual fact, towards the end of that set he did play really well, so that was great.
Good. But it's a bit like, isn't it, either rereading a book where you know the ending, or watching a movie where you've already seen it, so you know what happens, but you can still then enjoy it from the point of view of, I know it all comes good in the end, kind of thing. So you can almost get more involved, I think, sometimes with things like that. But good.
So, so that was lovely. And, you know, as we've said many times on the podcast before, you know, technology, it's amazing. The fact that I can do that is just really, really lovely.
Yeah.
So that was great. In other news, I'm back at my old gym. Yay!
Woohoo! This traumatic time. It was traumatic, wasn't it?
Oh, God. It was traumatic. Those of you who are maybe listening to this for the first time and don't know the story. So my lovely personal trainer, Nicole, decided to move to another gym about 6 weeks ago. And I felt, you know, my loyalty was to her and my relationship was with her. So I went to the new gym, I followed her, and instantly regretted it because the new gym was just everything that I hated the gym, you know, like...
Yeah.
Clinical, lots of bodybuilders, rubbish music, in the middle of town where you can't park anywhere and all that sort of stuff. And it was just so, and it was just not working.
Yeah.
Whereas the other gym, obviously, which I started in August, is not like that. And it's very family oriented, it's community. It's in a lovely barn conversion. You can always park. It's just really nice. So it just, the balance was tipped last Wednesday. When I couldn't park, I had to park about God knows how far away because all the parking places around the gym were 45 minutes only, which is no good. I didn't have any money with me because I didn't have my water bottle and my keys and my phone. I was in my gym gear and I had to park miles away. And as I walked towards the gym, the heavens opened. I got absolutely soaked. I was 10 minutes late for my session and she went, oh, I'm going to have to like knock 10 minutes off because I've got another client at 6. It was at 5 o'clock, which is not a good time for me because it's full of bodybuilders. Yeah. And I was like, no!
And it's not like you didn't give it a good go, right? Yeah. You know, you tried it for 6 weeks. You went with her. Your initial impressions were, ooh, I'm not sure this is my sort of place, but I'm going to give it a go. And 6 weeks is a really good go to try and get used to it and just, you know, see if you can adapt to the change. But it wasn't for you. And, you know, and like we were saying when we had the conversation about it, it's one of those kind of, you don't want to have the conversation, but you know you have to have it. Yeah. So you'd much rather not have to have the sort of, you know, thanks but no thanks, I'm leaving you type conversation, but at the same time you've got to do it because you're just not happy and there's no point. You know, if you're not happy and comfortable in your gym, then the reasons to not go are soon going to mount up, and then you're paying for something that you're not using.
And that is the thing I've kind of noticed over the last couple of weeks, that I was getting like ooh, it would be so easy not to go, and I don't want to feel like that. But so it was really funny. So, you know, when you kind of, it's a bit like if we maybe relate this to maybe a client that you've decided to leave, or maybe you have to have a conversation with a client about the fact that you're putting your prices up or whatever. So it's that, you know, it's that difficult conversation. So I was kind of putting it off. And then I went down to my new gym on Thursday, sorry, the old gym on Thursday, to just sort it all out with them and say that I wanted to come back. And as soon as I walked in the door, I knew I'd made the right decision, because they were like, oh, Sharon, hi, it was all hugs and everything. It was lovely. We've missed you, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So I sorted it all out. And then I said to them, all right, so I've got a session with Nicole this afternoon. Do I do it? When do I tell her? Do I tell her before the session? Or do I tell her after? And they were like, oh, no, tell her after. I was like, okay. So I steeled myself up to tell her.
Yeah.
And then during the course of the session, I pick up this medicine ball.
Yeah.
This is a lot heavier than you would normally do, but it's the only one we've got today. So I went, okay, no problem. And you know when you have to hold it and then you have to do these slams? And
yes.
What and then whatever. So literally I picked it up, slammed it on the floor. It was so bouncy, it literally came right back up and hit me.
No!
Nose and on my mouth and the head.
Don't know your own strength there.
And I just literally, I thought, oh my God. I was like holding my hands going, oh my God, I'm going to be covered in blood. It was so, I mean, God, it was such a shock.
And yeah.
And then I thought, oh my God, and then I'm going to tell her I'm going to leave. She probably thinks because of this medicine ball incident, you know.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Yeah. But it was all fine, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we got through the trauma and the medicine ball and I still didn't say anything. And then at the end of the session, I just sort of, you know, we went in the office and I just came out with it and I said, you know, really sorry, but you know, and she was fine about it.
Yeah,
we both cried.
Aww,
it's okay. As we do, and she was absolutely fine about it. I think she kind of probably had a hint, because you can tell, can't you?
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Comments and all the rest of it. I think she could tell.
And that's, you know, it's. I think that's the best possible outcome it could have been, is that you're both upset at the fact that you're not going to be working together in that way anymore. However, you both recognise that where she's at and where you need to be are not the same place. So, you know, I think that's the best possible outcome you could have had. And it's no hard feelings, but it's time to move on, sort of thing.
It is. And, you know, bringing it back to, you know, to the business lesson again, it's, you know, when you do have those sorts of situations, it is better to be honest, isn't it?
Completely.
Difficult conversations are always difficult, but you always feel better after you've done them, don't you?
Oh, definitely. And you know what? I have consistently found, doesn't mean I'm any good at it, but I have consistently found that the earlier I get it out of the way, the better it is, because the longer you leave it, the more you kind of, you build it up and you start seeing things that perhaps aren't there or attaching other emotions to it. And it becomes this huge, great thing. Whereas if you'd just done it, what's the cliche? Nipped it in the bud. If you done it when you knew the time was right to do it, then it gets it done and you can move on. And very often, actually, if you do it when it feels like the right time to do it, there is not as much recourse or reaction or sort of, you know, the negativity that you think might be there actually isn't as much as you think it's going to be.
So
again, as I say, doesn't mean that I'm necessarily perfect at doing that. Sometimes it is easier to put it off, but
you know, one of our listeners and Trainer Talk members, Anne Walsh, will love this, because I immediately felt that a great weight had been lifted from me.
She will love that. You're quite right. Excellent. Okay. So my week last week was, well, you and I had very similar weeks in that we were both kind of chasing the week a little bit and trying to fit in everything that we needed to fit in, but being in a constant state of, hang on, how can it be Wednesday already? How can it be Thursday already? How can it be Friday already? Just too much to do. But, you know, I'm happy to say that I pretty much got everything done that I wanted to do, which is good. But at the same time, it's when you've got this huge long list of stuff to do and then something comes in on top of it, it's kind of, oh no, I don't need any extra, just, you know, go away until I can deal with the extra stuff, please. I had a couple of things last week that were not business related at all, but connected to what I do supposedly in my spare time for fun, which is all the hockey stuff, and I got a message from the chairman we've got a committee meeting tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and I gave up being secretary of the association a long time ago, and said, look, I've just got too much to do, I don't have time to do the minutes, blah blah blah. Get a text message from him last week saying that the secretary can't make it and would I mind taking the minutes. It's like, ugh, no. So it's sort of, the text message came in the morning and genuinely I was intending to answer it in the morning and just completely forgot until it got to the end of the day. It's like, oh no, I've got to respond. Yeah. So I responded back, and it again, an example of a difficult conversation. It was one of those where I know that I can't say no for various reasons, and this is a genuine, you know, it is a situation where I am the best person to do this, however, doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. So I just sort of sent the response back saying, well, it's not in my top 10 list of things to do, frankly, and yeah, I don't have time to do a proper set of minutes. I will record action points, but that's all I can promise. If you're happy with that, then that's what we'll go with. Because I just thought, I just don't have the time at the moment. And having put together my finally put together my action list, which is one of the requirements of being an ambassador, you've got to have your list of things you're going to do. And I kind of knew that it was going to be a bit scary, and it really is scary.
Yeah, a lot of things on there.
Scary list of stuff to do, and it's not even everything. So it's like, having done that list, and now I don't have the capacity to add anything more onto it at the moment. And then to get extra requests to do stuff, and then there are a few. I mean, we were talking before the before we started recording the podcast, there are a few other bits and pieces that need dealing with, and people not taking responsibility for their actions. I'm just going to leave it there. And you know, mopping up after that is kind of, really, you know, I have so many more better things to do with my time. But one thing that I do need to do, speaking of taking responsibility for your actions, is I need to issue an apology. It's a heartfelt apology to one of our key listeners, one of our, as he put it, top 3/4 listeners, which cracked me up. It's like, not top listener, don't want to claim that. It's, I'm in the top 3-4, and that is the lovely Simon Linnard, because I mentioned him twice in the podcast last week and mispronounced his surname. Which, you know, as somebody with a name like mine, I take the pronunciation of names quite seriously and the spelling of names quite seriously. So to have done this is just, I'm so sorry, Simon. So let's say it again. Linnard. There we are. Hopefully that makes up for it. And getting another shout out in the podcast this week, he will be a happy top 3/4 listener. So...
Yeah.
There we are. That's my week. So, top of mind. Ah, yes.
Yes. Well, do you remember after Christmas when I had my social media detox and...
Yes.
You know, and I was into meditation and I was going to, like, you know, be more mindful about using social media and sort of only, you know, go into things when I was in a position to reply and mm-hmm. all that. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
And just noticed that this week it's all starting to go out the window. and the other thing I noticed was that, I don't know about you, but every Christmas I kind of find that I do this, I kind of reevaluate stuff. And then January and February seem to be, I don't know, slow months, in the sense that you seem to have time to, I seem to have time to do the things that I said I was going to do, and,
yeah.
I start off and I'm very sort of mindful and etc. and I read all this personal development I'm supposed to be doing, or what I said I was going to do, and all this stuff. And then suddenly when you go into March, time just seems to speed up. I don't know.
Not
why
wrong.
And you know, we did Trainer Talk Live on the 1st of March.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the 11th, and we're almost halfway through the month, and
yeah,
oh my word. So yeah. So it's all gone a bit crazy. I don't know why, but I was thinking, one of the topics that that came up at the mastermind, not just the one we did last time, but the time before and the time before that, was about this business about being the CEO of your own business, and
yes,
kind of, you know, not being in it quite so much, but being on top of it all. And, you know, Hannah, in terms of I have a lot of things to do in my business as the business has grown. And I am quite good at outsourcing and delegating. In fact, I do have 5 people in my team who do various bits of things for me. But having said all that, I've just been really conscious this week of, but I've still got too much to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now kind of, one of the things I'm going to do, so next weekend, I'm actually going away for the weekend. So I'm going down.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going down to Swansea. I'm going on a course. One of the main attractions of this course was the fact it was in Swansea.
Yeah.
Mumbles, actually. So that I can, as you know, it's part of the world I really, really love.
Yeah.
I can stay there. Then Amy can come across from Cardiff on a Saturday night. We can go out. And then also I can go back to Cardiff on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And with them on Sunday as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. But that's going to give me a little bit of time to do this sort of thinking about, okay, what's the next step?
Yeah.
Because I do feel as though there is room for even more delegating and outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
The first step really is for me to really look at all the people who are in my team and look at what they actually do. And then look at what I'm actually doing, and then, you know, is there capacity to shift some of that stuff to other people, and if so, what? But then again, you do hit the, as I'm sure, you know, you'll agree, you do hit the kind of, oh, I know, but it's just, you know, do I really need to do that? It's probably just quicker, you know, to do it myself. As I mentioned yesterday, I wasted God knows how many hours yesterday just peeking, looking under the covers of me, Edgar, and, you know, which is somebody else's responsibility, and that's absolutely fine. But then you look in it and you go, I'm sure there's a better way of doing that. And then before you know
it, you were fiddling. You were fiddling. You'd sort of went in and you found a little end of the string and you pulled it.
And then I'm like, why did I start doing this?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, oh, you know.
That's a classic example, isn't it, of kind of something that you think,
it
you
so know, is.
I'm better myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start doing it and then you just spend hours and hours and hours on it. So
completely.
So I'm just at that point where I'm thinking, oh, probably do need, because I'm, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm quite concerned about the amount of hours that I am spending on my work.
Yeah.
You know, and I love what I do. It's not a problem, but it'd be nice sometimes to have a bit more capacity to go off and do something else.
Definitely. Well, you want to be able to pick and choose, right? And we both talk to people all the time about what sort of lifestyle they want and moulding the business to suit the lifestyle that you want. And that's how and why you started your business, was because you needed compromise in certain places to have the lifestyle you wanted, which was obviously being with your children, supporting the children, and particularly Ryan with his tennis career. So, you know, and of course, given the earlier conversation we had, clearly that was the right choice because he's a winner. But it is very easy for us to get to the point where we just sort of add things on, and that word just has a lot to answer for. Just do this, just look at that. And I would love to feel smug about the pulling the string thing, but I do it all the time. I'll just go in here and have a little look at it. Oh, I'll just tweak that image. Actually, while I'm tweaking that, I could tweak the other images. And actually, whilst I'm doing that, I could rearrange this whole thing. My classic example is a few years ago where I went to change the batteries in the clock in the living room. So I got the clock down from the wall and I noticed that there was a bit of a sort of a dirt ring around the clock, right? So you think, okay, well, I'll clean that whilst the clock's down and I'm changing the batteries, I'll clean that. And as I cleaned, it spread out across the wall and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Do you know what I ended up doing? Redecorating. From changing the batteries on the clock, right? So I cannot sit here and claim to be any kind of guru about not pulling a piece of string.
See, this is the problem, and this is what I do, because I'm very, I don't know what the word is, but I always like to make things better, right? So it's a bit like we started off with a website.
Yes.
So the website was, oh, so can you just
tweak?
Just a little bit, and just change a bit of that, and then it'd be like, oh, God, just do the whole thing.
It absolutely has been like that. So can you just change this? And
because we might as well do things properly. And that is my problem. I always want to do things better. And I always want to do things properly. And so because of that, you do. You get, you know, a bit like thing going back to the Mighty Networks thing. So change the group on Facebook, as listeners will know. That was an awful lot of work involved in the research and whatever, but it was all done with the intention of making things better.
Yes.
This is my problem. If I could just sit back and go, oh, everything works now. This is great. Brilliant. Then I wouldn't get myself into this position all the time, would I?
I know. It's true. And I sometimes sort of, actually what worries me is getting to the end of the to-do list.
Yes.
And then not having anything to do.
Yeah, I don't.
And it's just an 'twas ever thus. I almost, in my corporate life, I almost reached the point at one point where things were working so well. My entire team was doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. It was all working smoothly. They were communicating the way they needed to, other than sort of, you know, low-level management issues, that kind of thing. The day-to-day stuff, people having stuff happening in their lives and that kind of thing. It was all working brilliantly. And I remember sitting at the time I had an office, sitting in my office thinking, okay, they don't need me anymore. And this is what I've been striving towards. But now I'm here. Wow, that's a scary place to be. Because there's nothing for me to do. I mean, I can invent things to do, but there isn't anything for me to do. And I think that's the same thing that drives you as drives me, is that it's this constant sort of looking for making it better, making it work, finding it, finding the thing that we'll just get on and do and we don't have to worry about. But then we're always finding other stuff to add on top of that. I sometimes wonder if maybe I should just sort of pick the right, what's the actual thing I'm aiming for? Am I aiming to get to, I don't know, age 60 and then go traveling for however long I have left on the earth? In which case, I need to have a better idea of where I'm going to take the business than, well, let's see what happens. Because that's just, you know, that's not really going to get me anywhere other than seeing what happens. And you know, and it's not like I don't have plans. And I'm sure you're the same. But at the same time, it's kind of, okay, it's so easy to get into this little trap of, we'll just tweak this bit and then that could be better. And of course, once that's better, something else is thrown into sharp relief as being not quite as good as it could be. You know, I don't know that there's necessarily an answer or that there's necessarily anything that needs to be done about it. But you're quite right. It is worth taking that step back and going, do you know what? I need to spend some time thinking about, is this working for me? And if it isn't, what do I need to change to make it work for me? Because it's your business, and we talk about this all the time to people. It's your business, make it work for you.
Yeah, we do. I think you know, it's interesting because I think, you know, I have this conversation a lot of the time, you know, with my own clients. We talk about it in trainer talk quite a lot, this business of sort of outsourcing and delegating. And, you know, we all know ultimately it is a good thing, because when you do that, you give yourself, you know, space to kind of grow and develop. And I totally get that. And this is why I do have five people in my team doing various things for me. And I have to say, since I have been doing that, you know, that I mean, like Shane, who deals with all the, you know, my account stuff, in terms of, he's basically a bookkeeper, but so he's not, so I'm my accountant who does the proper, you know, end of year corporation tax and tax return and all that. But Shane just does all the day-to-day stuff, you know the bank reconciliation. He deals with all the queries on invoicing, payments, people want to cancel their mem, all that. And he just takes all that away. And since he's been doing that, oh my god, that's been whole new world. That has been absolutely brilliant. So I know that I can see the benefits of it. However, the little gremlin, you know, on the side, on my shoulder, and the gremlin that pops up quite a lot in trainer talk, is this business about, but there are certain things that I need to do, and I need to do them now, which can be a massive barrier. I think one of the biggest barriers to me right now in terms of finding other people to do these other things is that nobody else cares, with the best will in the world, nobody else cares about your business as much as you do yourself.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Yep.
And so, you know, you can give something to somebody to do, and it might be done 2 or 3 days later, but you want it done like right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important that you get it done now. And if you're doing it yourself, you can do it now, can't you?
Yeah.
That is the thing. So I'm finding that that is one of the biggest barriers for me at the moment. I don't know about you. What are your barriers to...
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, my accountants, for example, said to me right from the beginning, and I knew from the beginning of setting my business up that doing the accounts was something that I didn't want any part of, in terms of liaising with the government systems and working out VAT and all that kind of stuff. It's like, no, I am going to pay somebody else to do that stuff. And they did say to me, all you need to do is just chuck your bits of paper in an envelope and we'll sort it all out. And I'm the one that has insisted on putting together my little Excel spreadsheet and recording everything down. And I know why I do it. It's because I like to keep an eye on, okay, you know, where's the money coming from? Am I going to have enough money to cover these things? I don't want to be that person that goes, oh, I've just had a phone call from the bank. I've got no money. It's like, no, I don't want to be in that position. I want to have this level of responsibility for it. But yeah, no doubt it would be easier for me to just, every time I invoiced somebody, is just print an extra copy off, shove it in the envelope that goes to the accountants at the end of the month and let them get on with it. Now, at some point, I know I'm going to have to look at something more sophisticated than what I'm doing, but I'm not at that point yet. Yeah. However, there are other things that I sort of look at my big long list of stuff that I've got to do. And that's a list of all the stuff that I need to do, because it involves thinking about strategic stuff to do with the business, or it involves relatively simple things for me, at least, like recording online courses. Well, yeah. You know, I there's no way around that. I need to find the time to do that. But I don't doubt that if I were to employ a VA, for example, I would probably be able to find stuff for them to do. Mm. It's just a question of starting that and then keeping an eye on it and reviewing it. And for me, certainly, at least, having spent so many years in charge of people, I'm still kind of running away a little bit from having the responsibility of somebody else's job. Now, I know with a VA, it's not, you're not employing somebody, you are subcontracting certain things, and that's fine. But you do still have to have that kind of manager, team member relationship, don't you? So I'm not quite there yet, but I'm thinking that I won't be able to run away from it for too much longer.
It is how businesses grow and develop, you know, because you literally can't do everything yourself. Having said that, it's funny, I'm at the point where I'm still thinking I've got too much to do, and I'm grappling with, as I said, you know, should I hand over even more stuff? My goodness me, can you just imagine what the business would be like if I hadn't handed over what I have already? I mean, I can't imagine.
Definitely. Do you suppose there's something to be said, though, for the moment you clear some space, either by handing something over or by deleting social media accounts or whatever it might be, you clear that space and then your natural instinct is to find something else to fill it? So instead of just allowing it to be space for a little while, and, you know, working out what else could go in there, whether it's reading a book for leisure or whether it's, you know, going out one afternoon a week and spending time with friends or whatever that might be, you find something else to fill the space instead of it letting it be space just for a little while. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's the problem is I'd just fill it with, like you say, I'd find more things that
me
could
too.
Be better.
Yeah, me too.
But it's an interesting one. And I think it is a dilemma that, you know, that lots of other trainers and business owners go through, because they do talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, dipping your toe in the water is absolutely the best thing to do. And once you find, once you start doing it, you wonder how you ever managed to live without it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I know that the time will come, as I say, when I need to have a serious look at all the stuff that is done and what can I outsource more of. I don't it's interesting, having been in business now, I'm in my fifth year of trading. However, it still feels like the business is relatively new, because it was only May last year, or April actually last year, that you and I had the conversation about niching down to yes. what I'm doing now. So the yes. business still feels like it's less than a year old, even though it feels like the yeah. business is older, if that yeah. makes yeah. any kind of sense at all. So so I still have to sort of remind myself that I am technically still in the first year of trading, and that's a really dangerous time for any new business, even yeah. though my overall business has been going for a lot longer. But it's a weird place to be. It certainly is. But yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure I'm reaching any kind of point here, so I think we should move on swiftly.
Let's move on.
All right. So are we ready to go to the dog walking digest?
Indeed we are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness me.
So Jem's had an adventure.
Jem's one of her little adventures, the adventures and escapades of Jem. So this week, so the council, the... Oh.
Well, you know, any sentence that starts like that probably isn't going to end well, is it?
No. So they've decided in their wisdom to erect a fence and a gate into some woodland, which is one of my dog walks. And, you know, I don't know why they put this there, because it didn't need, it had a little sort of, had a couple of iron railings there before, which, you know, they weren't lockable, but they did act as a barrier. But anyway, yeah. They probably, you know what it's like, councils, they come into the end of the year, they probably decided they had to spend some money. Okay. So some money, so let's just put a fence and a gate up. Okay, so they've erected this thing. It is so stiff, you cannot open it.
Oh no. Oh no.
It's just ridiculous. So, and some kind souls have actually realised that. And so a lot of sensible people, basically, they've just left the gate slightly open so that people can still walk through. But the back end of last week, somebody had just left the gate shut. So I was like, oh, okay, so. I could basically get in, but then once I'd done the woodland walk, I realised I couldn't get out again.
Yeah.
Now, there is an alternative entrance, which you have to sort of walk round and then you go down some steps and all the rest of it. So I thought, okay, I'll go back and get out. Little did I know that Jem had, you know, what they're like, had gone off and, you know, sniffed something and was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, no.
I thought, okay. So I thought, well, she'll catch me up, because, you know, they always do. And so I got all the way to the alternative entrance and then she still wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Thought, okay. So I walked then back to, you know, towards the gate. And then I noticed Jem, literally, she just sort of walked past in front of me. Quite a way away, but in front, like literally, she hadn't seen me. And I thought, okay, well, fair enough, because she'll realise where I am, because, you know, she's a spaniel, right? And, you know, they all sniff their owners out and everything else. So I just stood there thinking, come on, Jem, and stood in it here. So I thought, all right, okay. I walk back down to the gate and she'll probably be sitting there or scurrying around, you know, working out where I am. But she won't be able to get through the gate because it's locked. Get back to the gate. Jem is nowhere to be seen.
Oh, no.
I'm like, okay, right, let's work this out. So, you know, would she have gone back that way? Well, probably not, because I would have seen her. So that means that she's probably got under the gate, crossed the road.
Oh, no.
No. And he's like walking, and he's like walking home. So surely she wouldn't be so stupid as to do that. So then I think, okay, well, so I decided then to just like climb over the fence, because I certainly wasn't going to walk all the way back to the other entrance. Climbed over the fence, made sure I didn't break my ankle in the process. Crossed the road, walked along the pathway, thinking, by this time I was starting to get a little bit worried.
Yeah.
Okay, Jem, where are you? And, you know, you just crossed this road and, oh, my God, maybe you're back the other way. Sink in as walking along. And then all of a sudden, there in the distance, I saw the ears flapping. Running towards me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I didn't realise where I was. So I was like, please, Jen.
Yeah, exactly.
She went AWOL.
Oh, well, you know what, Scamp? has a habit of doing that all the time. But before I get onto the scamp story, I know so what you mean about the council spending money before the end of the budgetary year and all that kind of stuff, because we had somebody... We've got loads of different entrances into the park. There are tons of them. But this one particular one that we go past at night is by the little council offices that are there. And there was some guy digging up all the earth and stuff next to it. And somebody asked him what he was doing. Just, you know, not what are you doing, but as a friendly kind of, oh, what's going on here? And it turns out that they're putting a bike rack in there, which is something that everybody's gone, huh? Because nobody, I mean, how many people ride their bikes up there? It's the building is also the one that the golfers use for their golf club, and they're all at least 70, if not older. So none of them arrive on bikes. They all arrive in their 4x4s with the golf clubs in the back and all the rest of it, and park very badly in the car park. So it can't be them. It can't be the teenagers, because, you know, they ride their bikes across the golf course, not actually leaving them there. There's only maybe four people that work in the council offices there. So, okay, are we erecting a bike rack just for them? So it's all very bemusing and amusing. And then this morning I noticed that it had all been done and finished and all the rest of it. So we walked back past it to see what was occurring. No bikes in there, and it's locked. So it's a bike rack that nobody can actually use. What is going on? So somebody somewhere has ticked a box that says spend this money before the end of the end of March.
Exactly. Like the flipping fence.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. So that was a little bit of excitement not on top of this week.
Wow. Like I say, Scamp does it all the time. I mean, particularly in the winter when it gets sort of dusky and a little bit dark. He likes to go off and follow the smells. And I learned a long time ago. He's got a light up collar. But I learned a long time ago that as soon as he goes darting off into the woods, and it's relatively safe where we walk in that he can get to a main road, but it would be, you know, he'd really have to want to get to the main road, if that makes sense. I know he's in the woods somewhere. So what I tend to do is I pull out the phone and stick the timer on. And I know that until it gets to about 20 minutes, there is no point in worrying, because he will come back. Yeah. And he'll come darting out somewhere. I have to, you know, make a bit of a guess as to where I think he's going to be, like you did with Jem. Yeah. And then stand in a place where, at a distance, I can see his light-up collar come darting out of the bushes and then look around for me, which he does. And then he comes haring up to me as if to say, oh, look, I've found you. Isn't it brilliant? Isn't it amazing? And it's like, yeah, I've just been standing around in the dark in the middle of a golf course with no lighting for 15 minutes. That's absolutely fine, mate. No problem at all. Randomly whistling every now and again with, you know, people looming out of the dark going, oh, is everything okay? Is your dog missing? It's like, well, technically, yeah, but not really. Yeah. He'll turn up eventually.
Oh, well, you could see her, bless her, you know, that she was like, panicking. You could see it. I mean, the dog was, you know, heavy breathing. She was like hyperventilating.
Oh, bless. Oh, poor thing. And especially where she's getting a bit older now and a little bit hard of hearing. And
I know. Oh, dear, oh, dear. But yes, there's always a little adventure. She's just crashed out on her chair.
Uh-huh.
Her chair.
Of course.
Podcast chair. So she's not really listening to anything I'm saying at the moment.
Good for her. That's all right. We don't mind, really. Right. So, event or book? Which do you want to move on to?
Right. Well, I didn't think I had a book this week, because, you know, I said that I was working my way through the bookshelf.
Yes.
And reading all my books again. But the reason why I didn't have a book last week, and I did say I didn't have a book this week, is that I made the stupid mistake of picking the biggest book.
That's huge. Good grief.
449 pages.
Oh, Sharon.
So that's really why, and the fact that I've been, you know, very, very busy this week, I haven't managed to do much. But do you know what? I thought I'd bring it up because I can confidently say that this is a book that I will be keeping.
Yeah.
So I won't be in suspense any longer, because it is one of my favourites and always will be one of my favourites. So it's a book called The Success Principles, mm-hmm, by Jack Canfield. I love it because it's just one of those common sense books.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't tell you anything that you don't already know. But it's just a really great reminder. And it's just written in really nice language, and I love it. Yeah.
Excellent. So what is it all about in terms of the success principles? Is it for business owners? Is it for...
Well, it's for everything. It's for business and life, really.
Okay.
So, you know, read the stuff in the blurb on the back. So take control of your life, 100% responsibility. 100% fulfillment, that's what we've been talking about today.
I was going to say 100% responsibility. Yeah, I could do with showing that to a few people, but yeah.
Discover and focus on your core genius. Be better at what you do best and be a huge success at the things you enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm.
That is something we've been talking about. And become the happy, successful person you know you're meant to be without burning out.
Nice.
So, relevant. But no, it's really, really good. Yeah, it's one of the ones that I've read a lot. So, but yeah, just take a
while. I was going to say, just not a quick read, right?
Not a quick read.
It sounds like, is it written in such a way that you can kind of pick it up and put it down? Or do you, once you started, you have to finish?
You basically, each chapter is its own little chapter.
Oh, great, so, yeah.
You know, you could just read a chapter at a time. Mm-hmm. So that's quite good. And just sort of dipping it out, really. But definitely, I would recommend it.
Excellent.
It's always on my bookshelf. So
it's kind of reminded me, and especially where we were talking about making space and making time. So by delegating and outsourcing, finding time to do things. One of the things that I was really keen to do when I started my business was to set aside an afternoon a week for reading business books and that kind of thing. Yeah, that didn't last.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe that's something to reintroduce. So when you work out what else you're going to delegate and outsource, you can reintroduce your reading time, because it is really important as part of business.
It's all stuff that is just a great reminder. One of the things I looked at yesterday, and it was the first time around, was something I actually sort of earmarked, you know. And I read it again yesterday and I thought, I remember that, and I know that when I do that, either consciously or subconsciously, it really helps. So this is the business about looking for the opportunity in everything.
Okay.
You know, make a small sign or poster with the words, what's the opportunity that this is, and put it on your desk or above your computer. You'll be constantly reminded to look for the good in every event, which
nice.
I love. And I know that when I do that, good things always happen.
Absolutely. Yes, finding the silver lining. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. We had a similar thing in my circles group this week. So Shelley Fishel, one of Train Talk, member of long and good standing, and also a member of my circles group. She has been putting together a massive online course. It's enormous. So much so that we're sort of splitting it into different bits. She is splitting it into different bits. However, she thought she'd got to the end of doing filming, and then as she was going back looking through one of them, she realised that she'd missed a video out. And instead of using that as an opportunity to get really down in the dumps about how she then had to set everything up again, work it all out, she thought, you know what, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to work out what else I need to do. I've just got a really random note come up on my computer. Anyway, she needs to it's funny when your computer just says things to you. Thanks very much. I don't know where that's come from, but anyway, so she realized that it was an opportunity for her to work out actually what else could she do and what else needed to be done, and just change things around a little bit. So that's classic sort of finding the silver lining, isn't it?
Good. Love it, just a great reminder of those things.
Perfect. Alrighty, so we've had the book then. No event this week, is that right?
No, nothing on my agenda, nothing's popped into my inbox of notes this week.
Okay. Alright, so don't forget, listeners, if you do have open courses or online courses or events or something coming up, then by all means let Sharon know about it, and you could be featured in Trainer Talk the Podcast as the event to consider for other trainers. Cool. Okay. So we will move on then to the online tool. And the online tool, I've got a choice of two this week. So what I might do is I know. I might do one this week and one next week, even though they kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that we've had a conversation about relatively recently in the Trainer Talk group is around generating blog content, right? And finding ideas for what to put out there. And there were some really good comments made about understanding, you know, the top 10 frustrations or pain points of your ideal customers and talking about those and that kind of thing. There are also online tools to help you generate ideas for your blog. So the first one that we are going to look at this week is from HubSpot.
Yeah.
So it's HubSpot.com and then /blog-topic-generator. And you can enter, I think, up to 5 words, and it just generates ideas for headlines for blogs. And those headlines in themselves will stimulate you into thinking, oh, maybe that would be a good topic for me to write a blog about. So for example, if I do it live right now, we'll see what it comes up with. So blog ideas generator, enter a noun to get started. So I'm going to say courses and add that. And then I'm going to put online in there, and we'll just do 2. Give me blog ideas. So it's given me a week of blog ideas. There are 5 ideas in there. The first one is courses, expectations versus reality. The second one, ooh, I might take this one. Will online ever rule the world? The next one is, yeah, the next one is the next big thing in courses. And then the next one is online explained in fewer than 140 characters. And the next one is this week's top stories about courses. So you can see how it, you know, uses the words that you've given it. But it's just quite a nice sort of way of just chucking a few words in there and just seeing what creativity is sparked from that instead of facing the inevitable blank sheet of paper. So that's this week's one, HubSpot.com/blog-topic-generator. I'll put the link obviously in the show notes for everyone.
Yeah.
And then next week, I've got a different one, which does a slightly different thing, but it's a new one that I've come across. So I'll take a week to sort of have a little bit of a play if I get the chance. And then we'll talk about that one next week. All right.
Brilliant. Like the sound of that.
Perfect. All right. So unless there's any more for any more.
I don't think so. I think we are done.
We are done for the week. So thank you as always, listeners, for your time and attention. And don't forget, if any of you want to shout out and want to let me pronounce your name incorrectly, then we're always happy to do that for you. I did say to Simon that with my name being the way it is, it is usually most useful for me at somewhere like Starbucks or Costa's to just go, yeah, just call me Janet. So of course, Simon called me Janet, which I deserved. Anyway, from Janet and Sharon.
Yeah, just a little reminder of how we can be contacted. So yes. Our 2 websites, so I can be found at thetrainerstrainingcompany.co.uk.
And I am at getthatcourseonline.com.
Or trainer-talk.co.uk.
Yeah. So many ways, myriad of ways to get with this. Brilliant. All right then. Well, as I say, thank you for your time and attention, and we will speak to you again next week. Bye.